The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hello and thanks for joining me for today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood, I'm the Director of Climate Strategy Company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Well, today we're going into Climate Matters number 146, which had the theme, Seeing Things Different Ways. We were looking at a climate game that doesn't feel like a game. There was a bit of a reminder for the poetry competition. We won't spend time on that. That's now history. Another way fossil fuels gain from AI. Be Amazed, a talk by Craig Tyndale with Nate Hagens. Have a serious laugh at an EV view of fossil fuel cars. That's a really, really whimsical skit. And then a salutary item on BlackRock keeps playing New Zealand government for suckers. So let's get into Climate Matters number 146. Here we go. A no-win game, gamifying adaptation and resilience. NIWA has brought out an online game called Future Coasts Aotearoa, and good on them for doing it. It's a great idea and a great start, but to be honest, at my playing ability, I felt it was quite a long way from a great finish. The way it was played, it's that you download a very simple app. You can play it individually or in groups. I've only tried it individually. The scenario fits. It's a coastal settlement at a river mouth, so it's got vulnerabilities to flooding, to storms, to sea level rise. The players can select roles from a fairly modest menu, about half a dozen sort of lifestyle or personality types, and then you make progressive choices ahead of or due to climate impacts. There are a series of turns where you get allocated so much in the way of funds and you have so many options of what you can do with those funds. So far, so good. It all seems realistic. But as soon as I started to play, there was a feeling of inevitability that it didn't matter what you did, the climate impacts were going to swamp you in the end. And the clunky choices that it offered at this stage in the way of how you can spend your money or how you can fine-tune what you spend it on, it seemed unable to stop properties progressively succumbing to, in essence, some sort of severe weather event. It may also be a harsh reality we need to take to heart. It may also be a harsh reality that we really need to take to heart, that it is almost a no-win situation, but then you hardly wonder why you make it a game if that may not be the best way to get the messaging across. I really hope they do more work on it and build it up. I think it really is promising, but I don't quite know yet. And it seemed to me from the handful of times I've played it that the nearest you get to a win seems to be to set up on your very first turn and move to the city. At that point, you drop out of the game. Doesn't seem to be a desirable way to do it. Anyway, well done, NIWA, even though I haven't given it a rave review. I do hope you get to refine it. I do hope you get constructive feedback from users. And thanks very much for the effort there. And I encourage all listeners to give it a go too. We'll put a link to it in the show notes on the Fresh FM webpage. Future Coasts Aotearoa is the name of the game. Okay, this another reason the fossil fuel sector loves AI. We have to realize that any time that we use more energy is a playing into the hands of the fossil fuel industry because it makes it harder to decarbonize what we already have. And that means it makes it easier to keep using fossil fuels. So, as I mentioned, the theme of this episode is seeing things another way. And the way I've phrased this is it's high time we looked at energy the other way around. It's not how quickly can we add renewables. It is how quickly can we subtract fossil fuels. The real exercise is to stop using fossil fuels, not to add renewables, even though adding renewables may be one way to reduce fossil fuels. The insatiable rate that AI is claiming energy is just mind-boggling. It outstrips our already challenged quest for an energy transition, and in so doing, it prolongs fossil fuel use, and it even adds pressure in parts of the world for reintroducing nuclear power stations. I'm quoting here from a Yale Environment 360 report. We'll give a link to that in the show notes. Here's what they had to say. Energy-hungry data centers have been a lifeline for ailing U.S. coal plants. These are plants that are meant to be closing. Since the beginning of last year, and this was written in 2026, since the beginning of 2025, at least 15 coal plants in the U.S. have had their planned retirements delayed, sometimes indefinitely. So we learned that US's new AI master will demand some 8 gigawatts more electricity every year until 2035. That's just the US. It's a bit like opening a new Huntly power station in New Zealand every 7 weeks for 10 years. That is crazy in a world suffering severe mineral blindness. People like Simon Michaud has lamented, for years we've got that problem. We have to wonder who in government has a clue about long-term infrastructure planning. Michaud, like many visionaries, I think of people like the Club of Rome and Limits to Growth, or Kate Raworth and Donut Economics, has his critiques. He's answered them all, but if that's not enough, check out the Nate Hagans interview below. This is another thing we're coming to in this episode. But the basic thing is, how do we realize what we've done by taking on AI? I don't see AI adding very much at all to our quality of life, but I think it has a huge potential to subtract both from our quality of life and also from our future prospects under climate change. Okay, Nate Hagans pulls yet another rabbit from the hat. Climate Matters 145 sang the praises of Nate Hagans' interview with Kelly Earhart. We discussed that a couple of weeks ago. He's now done the same with an astonishing interview with Australian investor Craig Tyndale. A very different interview to the one with Kelly Earhart, but it's still fascinating. It's clear that his grasp, that's Tyndale, Craig Tyndale, his grasp of almost everything from global mineral flows to the G-forces on the human body and to drone-seeding forests and to Sydney's birds really wowed even Hagans. I'm quoting from Tyndale here. It's contractual spaghetti, he said, discussing China's tightening grip on global mineral supplies. Australia might have a tin mine. The total offtake of that mine is committed to Chinese smelters, yet tin is the lifeblood of the new age. Really, it's just the quarry for the Chinese. So that's Tyndale, and another quote from him. We use modern technology to reforest the world. A drone can drop 40,000 seed balls a day. We can use them in swarms. So that quote has come out of the blue to you. I want to unpick it a bit now. In one of these very many dimensions of what he talked with Nate Hagans about, the interview lasted an hour and 46 minutes. And of course, there'll be a link in the show notes. Towards the end, he started talking about his effort to really do something about A, helping the ecological crisis, and B, helping the climate crisis. He has worked supporting a startup, which is using drones to reforest entire landscapes. As I mentioned in the quote, one drone can drop 40,000 seed balls a day. They've invented a machine to make these seed balls. They're a bit like the sort of bit smaller than a golf ball, and they contain forestry seeds plus nutrients. They have AI analyzing the different slopes and deciding which are the best sorts of species to drop in which locations. And that, so one drone can drop 40,000 seed balls a day. Imagine if you have 10 drones, that's 500,000 seed balls in a day. Incredible. There is a link to the company called Airseed, which does that. I'd encourage you to have a look at that link. Craig Tyndale talking to Nate Hagens, truly remarkable. Okay, an EV view of fossil fuel cars. This is in keeping with the theme of looking at things another way. We'll give a link. I'm not going to talk much about it, but we'll give a link to a two-minute clip by Rory Sutherland, who is a UK journalist, and he is talking about, just imagine that the world was full of electric cars and someone invented a fossil fuel car. I won't tell you more. You'll get some good laughs out of it. It's only 2 minutes. Well worth a look. Okay, the next one, looking at things the other way around, feeding the hand that bites you. Now, I'm not big on told you so. I don't particularly like that. But in August 23, 2023, in Climate Matters 99, I wrote, and I'm quoting, "Alarm bells are drowning out the fanfare Labour would like me to hear." And I was writing about a $2 billion investment in a, quotes, climate infrastructure fund, close quotes, that Labour was negotiating by them with the massive fund manager, BlackRock. Now, I had already heard of BlackRock a couple of years ago at a conference in Berlin, where the Spanish delegates at the conference were saying how terribly damaging BlackRock were in the way that they had invested in low-cost properties, driving a lot of poor people out of the properties so that BlackRock could run them at a bigger profit as Airbnbs. It was a very sad story, and I couldn't help relating that to the prospects that BlackRock are just in it to make money for their investors, which are, among other things, very large retirement funds. And I was very cynical. Anyway, in late 2024, BlackRock abruptly ditched Solar Zero, which was at the heart of some of that investment. There, you may recall there were 170 jobs lost. There was over $40 million worth of debt. The newsroom now reports, and I'll give a link to that report in the show notes, now reports recently them walking away from the entire $2 billion deal. It seems that BlackRock continues, as I've said, to live down to its reputation. However, let's dial back a bit to about this time last year. This was after they had dumped Solar Zero, and not to be outdone by Labour, soon after BlackRock dumped Solar Zero, the National Party and this government invited them to an investment summit. So my final comment is, with friends like that, who needs enemies? So on that note, that actually brings us to the end of this Climate Matters, a little bit shorter than usual, partly because I'm trying to keep them brief, partly because I've skipped the item on the poetry competition, which has now closed. Thank you very much for your company. I do hope I have it again next week. And of course, kia kaha for the climate. Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz, and podcasts of Climate Matters and of other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.